I might be exaggerating in that, because I feel almost whenever it's any feast that this is the most important feast we celebrate. So now we have the Feast of Holy Family, and I'm ready to say it's probably the most important feast we celebrate. But there is some reason for that. Just look, what is the most important cell in the society? Society is composed of many people, and the most important cell in society is the family, correct? If the family is sick, whole society is sick. As simple as that. And you can see that. In the areas of the country where families are more broken, you have more violence. Do I need to bring statistical data to prove that? You see it. Where our family is broken, we have more crime, more violence. What is the indicator of poverty in the country? The most poor category of the people are single mothers with children. Where the family is broken, there the poverty is rising, violence, crime. Not that these people are bad, but simply it's difficult to grow up in a normal human person outside of the family. Where in the family we learn how to love, how to forgive, how to seek the will of God. For that reason, this Holy Family comes as example. Now, I know we did that before, but I have to invite you to do it again. And don't do this alone at home. For a moment, we have to think with the mind of the devil. If you are a devil, what you would attack most? That's what is most holy. Then look what is attacked most in our society, and you will discover what is most holy here on earth. It is the family, correct? From every side, pornography, divorce culture, there is a website for rapid divorce, I don't know, send check, you get divorced in a couple of weeks and so on. In New York City, there was a huge billboard, life is short, have an affair. It is advertisement for dating site for married people, which is again, just only purpose is to destroy the family. Abortion destroys the family, because this pain of abortion destroys everybody around the person who has that pain. If anybody here thinks that abortion is just getting rid of the child, getting rid of the problem, and then you continue living your life as you are, no, pain remains. And that pain will spread through all your relationships. Abortion destroys also the family. In different countries, they destroy family in different ways. In Russia, they had custom of putting several families in one apartment. That destroys the family. In China, they don't allow families to have children or to have more. Why this world, I told you, it's so simple logic. If family is healthy, the society will be healthy. It would seem that society would try to help family to be healthy, not to destroy it. Why then the society tries to destroy the family? I think because broken people are easier to manipulate. Governments, if you have society of broken people, you can manipulate them, you can do with them whatever you want. If they are from healthy family, they are happy, they think for themselves, they don't need you to manipulate them. So, Jesus Christ is born in the Holy Family. What it means, Holy Family? We have to define that. It doesn't mean that every member of that Holy Family is kneeling here in front of the altar about 25, 26 hours in one day to pray the rosary and so on. No, it means that they are seeking to do the will of God. That's what holiness is. Seeking to do the will of God. I can easily imagine, I would not be surprised that one Thursday afternoon, when there was nothing on TV, Mary and Jesus had dialogue like this. Mary said to Jesus, Jesus, only happiness for man is to do the will of God, even if that means dying on the cross. That's always, because what is the will of God for you, for me, for Mary, for Joseph, for Jesus? Will of God for you and me and for everybody else is to be happy. That we are created for happiness, and if we do the will of God, we are going to find that happiness. Resisting the will of God basically means resisting happiness. Yes, sometimes the will of God gets wild and strange, like going to the cross, and then we resist it. Even Jesus Christ, even he who was God himself, but he had to submit himself in the human nature to the will of God. In the human nature, he was afraid of the cross. He was afraid of dying. He was afraid of suffering. And you remember in Garden of Gethsemane, the only time that we see Jesus Christ anxious is when he resists the will of God. You remember that? When he prayed to the Father, "Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass away from me." And he was sweating blood. He was full of anxiety when he accepted the will of God, even when it meant to go to the cross. He was in peace. And same is with us. That's the reason why I'm holding this, because I don't know if you have heard the second reading. Second reading says that, I will read it first in the way how many people hear it, okay? First part. Brothers and sisters, put on God's chosen one, holy and beloved, heartfelt compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If one has a grievance against another, it is the Lord, as the Lord has forgiven you, so must you also do. We always, I think, we hear these things like something, some moralism. I have to do it. The church, the scripture, God puts more things to do on me and I hardly can go through life already doing the things which I'm doing. Come on, I cannot take it anymore. Bear with one another. If you know my husband, he would not tell me to bear with one another. But then, did you hear what it says, says further? And let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. This word, which St. Paul has given us, that word has to dwell in us richly. It's not we who fulfill that. It's when God tells us to forgive, he doesn't say, try to squeeze some forgiveness from your selfish heart. No. The word of God comes to fulfill. Same word which God used to create the world. God said, let there be light, and there was light. God says, let there be forgiveness in your heart, and there may be forgiveness in your heart if you accept it. It's not that we produce that in our heart. It is God giving us. We have to accept it. Same like Mary, Angel Gabriel came. I mean, this Angel Gabriel was very busy these days. He was going back and forth. Everybody was already tired seeing him, especially Joseph. But same as Angel Gabriel came to Mary and says, Mary, you will have a son. It's not that she squeezed. Son somehow produced son. The word became flesh in her. That word which God says to us, forgive, that word can become flesh in our life. Love one another, that word can become flesh in our heart. And that's exactly what Holy Family was example, that this word become flesh in their life and lived among them. And that's what God wants to fulfill in us. And how do we find the will of God? Okay, we see that God can do this in us. And for that reason, we need to learn to pray. And the prayer better involves the Word of God. That's why I always speak to you about the Word of God. Aren't you already tired how much I speak about that? To listen the Word of God, to hear it, that this Word, it's not enough that we hear the Word of God once and that this Word become flesh in us. No, we have to be soaked with that Word, to be transformed by that Word, to start to think as God thinks. But then, how do we find the will of God? I think here is the answer. At least I will give you an example of how that worked for me. And says, and let the peace of Christ control your hearts. Let the peace of Christ control your heart. In Gospel of John, Jesus Christ says, my peace I give you. I give you the peace which the world cannot give. Some different kind of peace. I told you many times about that peace. Different kind of peace. What is the peace we look for? We look for the kind of peace where nobody interrupts us. When we don't have problems from outside. I describe that as husband watching TV and saying to the wife, go vacuum in another room, leave me in peace. Just don't disturb me. No, that's not the peace which God gives us. You see how much he disturbs Joseph. Go here, go here. I mean, poor Joseph. No, the kind of peace which God gives us is internal peace. When even the whole world can fall around you, even the people are after you to kill you, you are at peace because you are in the will of God. And you know that God is concerned for your happiness, that God will do everything possible for your happiness. Let us compare Herod, who wants to kill Jesus, and Joseph, who wants to protect Jesus. You know King Herod? Probably you didn't know that King Herod killed two of his own sons because he had get probably news that they are plotting against him. He ordered to execute them. Supposedly, emperor, Roman emperor said, I would prefer to be his dog than his son. That would be safer. For King Herod, because I never understand that guy. I cannot understand King Herod. Can you imagine? He believed in God. When Magi came to King Herod asking, where is the newborn king of the Jews? He knew that will be Messiah. It's prophesied in the Old Testament. He asked the scribes, look in the Old Testament, what the prophecy say. And they said, it says in Bethlehem. And he decided to kill all the children in Bethlehem, thinking he can go against God. He can be smarter than God. He can trick God. I don't know what he was thinking. He didn't get the idea. God knows better. But you see where his anxiety come from, his fears, because he goes against the creator of the universe and everything what God is doing, and deep down he knows he cannot succeed. Where Joseph's peace come from? Because he enters in the will of the God of the universe, the one who created universe, the one who has created him. And he knows this will is like a river, bring him to happiness, where he is supposed to go. It's as simple as that. Once we are in the will of God, we are in harmony with God and harmony with everything what God has created. If we are trying to do our own will, we are never going to find peace. You know who goes to heaven? Those who do the will of God, to whom Father at the end of time says, blessed are you, good and faithful servant, enter into my kingdom. Who goes to hell? Well, those who sing the famous song, I did it my way. You know, they go there doing their own will. I wanted to give you more example about that peace. And I know some of you have heard it. How did I end up in the seminary? I used to be an atheist. And finally, at one point when I heard God and I found a lot of joy in God, I was going to the church. And I already at that point break up with my ex-girlfriend. We broke and we had still many dealings. We were friendly. We had one dinner. And she asked me, why are you so much going in the church? Finally, you will become a priest. She wanted to say something so crazy that I wake up and see how crazy I am. And you know what happened? That night, I could not fall asleep as long as I was rejecting idea. I didn't have peace until I didn't say, okay, I will think about that. When I accepted this crazy idea, I said, I will think about that. I was at peace. It was not only that, but that was the beginning. God didn't give me peace until I didn't accept to at least think about doing his will. And that's how we find what is the will of God. I'm quite sure, at least it worked for me. When I'm losing peace, when I first find sometime being in the will of God, you find that peace. You find so much joy in that, so that every time you step out of that, you realize I'm outside of the will of God. I'm losing peace. So you come back there in this will of God. And there you find joy and peace. Important thing, I already speak too much, but I have to tell you one more thing. The family is a domestic church. It's a place where each member has to learn how to find God. We usually speak about three altars. One altar, and you will be surprised, many of you will be surprised by that. First altar is the marriage bed. It is a place where husband and wife get in the union and renew the marriage covenant, renew the marriage sacrament. And it's not that this Sunday morning I get this beautiful idea and invented it for this homily. No, that existed in the church for all time. I will show you one thing. Do you see canopy above the altar? You know what that canopy signifies? Presence of God. It's the symbol of the cloud in Old Testament. Whenever there is God, presence of God is shown as cloud, Shekinah. When Jesus Christ on Mount of Transfiguration, there is cloud above the apostles, a sign of the presence of God. On his in front of the Sanhedrin, Jesus Christ says, "And you will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds." That shows he claims he is divine, and everybody rips his cloth. This cloud is always a sign of the presence of God. This canopy above the altar is symbol of that cloud, symbol of the presence of God. And you have this canopy in many churches in the past. Remember? Sin? At least older people remember. I cannot ask the younger. For all those who have watched old movies, you could see that above the marriage bed in old movies, often there was canopy, correct? Those who like old movies. Why? It's the same thing. It is like altar, signifying the presence of God. Because St. John says in his letter, God is life and God is love. He makes himself present in the marriage embrace of husband and wife. He creates love, and this love unites husband and wife into one flesh. And he, if it's his will, he gives new life there. And husband and wife who are united so on the marriage altar, they come out, and then on the second altar, which is table where they pray together with the rest of the family, that's on the second altar, whole family gets united in prayer. I don't mean prayer, just bless us, O Lord, and this day give you chair about to receive from thy bounty through Christ our Lord. I mean, no, I mean truly seek placing yourself in front of God, seeking the will of God, seeking that God may destroy in us all the resistance to do his will, and that he may help us to forgive each other, that he may help us to love each other. That means to completely present ourselves in sincerity to one another and to God. That's this prayer. And the family is so united by prayer, then comes in the church in front of this altar to be united with all the families of in the parish. That's what is the plan of God, to make himself present from the parents to family in this parish, which is union of family, which is, as in Eucharistic, some Eucharistic prayer, we say this is the family of God, where we are united with prayer. In this parish, we still need to beg God to create more union. But that's what God always does when his children are united in prayer. Let us stand and pray to our God.